she's this Asian lady that just will be like, out of random, be like, we do it for the arts. Like, all
let's
the
buy
time.
A goat.
I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
And we are back with day two and episode four with Simon Diaz. How is that? Is that better than me saying Simon Diaz?
Yeah.
How was my Spanish accent? Was it good?
Really bad.
All right, give me
at least
some.
He's honest.
How do I improve? Where was it bad?
It's like we put the accent on the O, like Simon.
Simon.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Simon. Yeah. Sounds way
because
better
when you make it look long, it's like Simon. So like a French girl name.
Yeah, Simon.
Yeah.
You sound really sexy with Simon.
He sounds good.
Or Simon. Yeah,
he's saying you're dragging it out too far, though.
Oh, is it, I'm dragging it out too far?
Yeah. You're making it sound like a French girl's name.
What's wrong with that?
Because he's not a French girl.
But
I mean, I'm looking at him.
I don't know. He could be.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
If you squint. Simon, thank you for joining us today. I'm actually really excited to get into your work because we've kind of known of each other for several years. We actually just met in person. For the first time,
yep.
Down in Nashville at PPA just a couple months ago. And I want to get into your work, and I want to get into the story of your come up. And before we forget, also joined with David the Doctor, Private Parrish.
I'm always the last one to be introduced at this table. Always.
Oh, there
he
you.
Almost always forgets about me until like
that's a thing that I have going on. I want to keep it going and see how long I can get. Before it's like super awkward,
like the 30-minute mark when he's
like 30, yeah. And also here too. With David, yeah.
All right. Forgot,
yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, so I got a little bit of this story down in Nashville, but how did you get into photography?
It was pure accident, actually. My mom came here to the U.S. when we were little kids. My sister and I was 10, my sister was 5, and my grandma used to take us to a photographer. So this guy take pictures of us. So she can send to my mom. And my grandma, she used to pay everybody with coins. But that guy was the only guy she paid with bills, right? And I was, okay, it must be a nice job. He's the only guy who has a car and a really, you know, nice house here in town. And I got them, why don't you buy me a camera and take the pictures? So my grandma was, yeah, someday when you grow up, you're going to have your own camera and you can take my pictures. So I got it on the back of my head. And then when I came here to the U.S., I always tried to have a camera with me, right, since I was a little kid. Like, I like to take pictures of bugs or flowers or sneakers or whatever. But when I came here to the U.S., I started working in a pawn shop. And, you know, I got access to a really good deals. And my boss told me once, hey, why don't you buy this camera for this much? And I was like, I saw the tag. I was like, hell no, I got already a camera. I spent like $40. To me, it was already expensive. That was a Nikon 5200, and she won like $700 for it. I ended up buying it for $300, including taxes. So that was my first camera, and I had no clue how to use the camera at all. So in my head was, you know, the pictures you saw online come straight out of your camera like that. So I didn't know about editing. I didn't know about the composition. I didn't know about f-stops, nothing. My wife actually gives me a tutorial about this guy, Frono Photos.
Yeah.
So he bought me to
Frono Photos.
That dude. And I started. I was learning the, you know, how to use my camera. What ISO? What the f-stops?
And what year is this?
That was 2015. Yeah,
right.
my wife and I didn't have my kid yet. So.
And you're in Seattle at this point, or Washington? Where?
Yeah, I was in Washington. I was in Bothell, okay. Washington. So frustrated again, I dropped the camera. My wife gets pregnant, and. You know, life happens, and we bought a house. We moved, and on the moving was the camera right there. And I was, well, I don't know if I should use the camera or should sell it back. My wife says, the hell you want to sell it back? You want to learn how to use it, so learn how to use it. And that's how I started my career. with a tutorial, and my wife telling me you had to use the camera.
That's how it usually goes. So you're
ordered by your wife.
Yeah, your wife's like, get to busy.
Figure it out. Yeah. So when did you start getting paid for photography?
2019, January 2019.
Okay. So four years you're kind of shooting on the side while
I was just having fun.
Starring in Pawn Stars. Yeah. You had a pawn shop the whole time?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the pawn shop real quick. Let's take a slight detour. Pawn shops are crazy, right?
It was crazy.
Some crazy shit happened at this. Give me the craziest story at this
pawn I got shop. A speed on. I got in calls. I've been called from A to C. Actually, we had a notebook. Like somebody calls somebody. We just were like, okay, that's a new one. And we just write down the insults. And when somebody says, oh, that's a new one. That's interesting. What that means? Like we piss off people. That was so.
Is this because you're just lowballing people? They want way more than what you're giving them?
They're unrealistic demanding. Like, for example, they want a PS3 that we sell for $60. They want $300 for a piece. It was like, that ain't going to happen, bro. That's
yeah.
It's not 2003, you know?
Yeah. So you're working at a pawn shop and then just kind of shooting for yourself in between finding
shoots? I was just shooting and learn how to use my camera. And actually, my wife came with this group shoot on Seattle. That's what I meant. And she said, well, there's people here that require photographers. And I, for an entire month.
This lady's crazy. She's amazing. But yeah. She's crazy. She's
as amazing as crazy she is. Yeah. I love
her. She's just like she's this Asian lady that just would be like, out of random, be like, we do it for the arts, like all the time.
Let's buy a goat.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I'll say, I only knew her because I flew up to Seattle. Because my wife was doing some work, and so like I was just like, I'll go along. And we have another mutual friend, Laura, who was like, you have to meet this lady. She'll basically style all of your shoots for you. And I was like, okay. And she's like, and she has a daughter who will model. And I'm like, okay. And so like I go over to their house on the military base at that time, like go over to their house. She's an amazing human being, but totally off the chain. Like she has their garage was like from ceiling to floor stuffed full of props and clothing and like she
a had hoarder. Bought,
she photography just had hoarder. Dresses like styling like
hoarder, real maybe. Expensive stuff. Yeah, really cool
really
stuff.
Like she had spent an ungodly amount of money, I think, on clothing. And
now she's got to pay to store it.
I don't know. He would have no better.
That's the one bad thing a lot of people don't think about. When you start acquiring a lot of gear, if you got to move or you just don't have the space, it costs a lot of money to keep gear.
It was pretty amazing. Like, she styled my shoots and got me models and watched my kid while I went and shot in the middle of Seattle. She's incredible. But she's just like, we do it all for the arts, like, all the time. She's off to,
What else would you be doing it for?
Shout out to
Annie. Yep. All right.
She's awesome.
Is that what you're doing it for, the arts?
Yeah. I was having fun in that people were saying, hey, looking for a photographer here in Buffalo. And I was like, hey, I'm trying to learn. Can I go and take your picture? And he says, no, you have a portfolio. We don't know you. And yada, yada. So I started shooting my wife, my mom, my son. And that was it until August 17, I remember. This girl answered. She says, I'll go to Marysville to take you. You can take my pictures. My pictures suck. That was the first time actually we used artificial lighting. That was terrible. I still got those pictures. I'm going to show you one of those. That was so bad. I feel so bad for the girl now. Well,
that's part of the process, though. Yeah. Everyone goes through that. Like, no one just skips to instantly being good. I mean, it's certainly faster for some people, depending on their influences and environment and people helping them. But, I mean, part of the process of being a photographer is going or just having those first few years of, like, and also thinking it's good. And that's where the real growth is. It's like thinking it's cool, effect. You're having a good time.
Like you don't know how bad you are.
Yeah, and you just don't know what good is or why.
Yeah.
And
then
you look
fun.
Back like almost every year. And it's almost a thing that just keeps happening. Every year you look back on like your work from a year or two ago and you're like, Jesus.
Or like a week ago. Yeah. Like you edited something and you look back a week later and you're like,
or, really or even 2 hours. Sometimes you edit something and then you go and take a break. And when you come back, I don't like colors.
Yeah. So do you curate your Instagram to like, do you delete old stuff?
No.
No. See, like I like people that do that. Like you could scroll all the way back down to the bottom and see like their crap and they haven't hidden it. They've just been like, here's my
growth. Takes a while to scroll down that far.
It does take a long time. I've deleted very little. I like to see like
Progress.
I mean, I'm not ashamed of it. Everybody sucks when they start.
Yeah.
So when I take those pictures, somebody told me, well, they're not good, but you need to start learning how to edit your photos. And that's why I come up across RGG Edu, right?
Back in the day. He's been with us since the OG name.
OG.
The first name. For those of you don't know.
Yeah, the first one I bought was
RGG Edu.
Yep. The first one I bought was Pratiques.
Yeah. Beauty and Headshot.
Retouching.
Oh, the retouching, yeah.
And the second one I purchased the same day was Chris Knight Dramatic Portraiture, because that's the type of photography I wanted to do. And I got obsessed with that. And I started buying. And I bought that one. I got Sandro's. I got Gemmy's. I got a lot.
Sandro's is a sleeper.
It really is.
It really is.
Like, he almost died in that tutorial.
Yeah.
Several times.
If you haven't watched that tutorial and like really consumed it, I mean, first of all, you can't get anybody that's a bigger G than like Sandro Miller, you know? And like, it's funny because you'll throw out his name and people will be like, I have no idea who you're talking about, until they see like the Malkovich photos and they're like, I know exactly who you're talking about. So you're like, you know, his work. You might not know him because he's one of those OG, like, I'm not socialing.
I don't think I've told you this, but I just got a tattoo of Sandro.
No, I know that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I did know that.
Yeah.
Right on my neck. I'm not done with it. I have still a few more sessions, but that's how much I love Sandro. He's by far my favorite photographer of all time. And also, he's just my favorite human being of all time. Like, he's such an OG artist and just like sleeps and breathes art. And just like being around him, you just learn so much. And he's just a phenomenal human being. Like, you just can't get nicer and like more genuine. And also, like, I don't know how he dresses that way, but I want to go shopping with him. Every time I'm with him, I'm like, can you just take me shopping, please? Where are you getting all these cool threads?
I don't know if you know this. Like, when we first started talking about, like, me doing more for the company and transitioning over from being a customer, like, I was reaching out to people and being like, do you want to do, like, a workshop series at ProEDU headquarters? And, like, I called him, talked to him. Dude kept me on the phone for, like, 3 hours. Mind blown. It was, like, a lesson just... it was just like, here's the entire world. I'm going to spend 3 hours on the phone with you and just dump on you. It was crazy. Sandro Miller.
Amazing.
So you have recently had a few upgrades in your studio. You just did a whole move, right?
Yeah. I went from my garage, which was, I would say 300 square foot.
That was like, that was where you're shooting until, when you first started getting paid until recently. So.
Until, I will say, April 2022, actually.
Okay.
And then the lady that was renting the building made a mistake and says, hey, we need to be out of here by April the 1st. And I said, yeah, 2024. No, 2023. So you need to find a place. And I was like, damn. All right. Well, I have to find a place now.
Dang. So like no contracts? You're just like, you're a month to month?
Yeah. And that was a good friend of ours. She has a quinceañera store. I was working on the bag. And
what's a quinceañera store like?
They said dresses.
Cupcake
dresses.
So just full of dresses?
Yeah, that's actually a cool place to put it, dresses.
They're cupcake dresses. They're huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I missed out on this. I like this. I like this part of that culture, the quinceañeras. It's really cool.
I mean, you could
come to
downtown El Paso. Like, there's like 9,000 quinceañeras. Shops like everywhere.
Oh, it's quince shops. That's the short version.
We don't call them like. I mean, hardly any time does somebody say quinceañera. They always say quince.
So, are you gonna throw one for your kids, or is this like can't do it? Not part of the club.
So, I've asked this question a lot. Maybe you could give me some insight. So, I live in a predominantly Hispanic Mexican culture, and I have a daughter, and I think like with her growing up in the same culture, like all of her friends are gonna have quinces, like. What happens when she comes to me and is like, I want to have a quince? And I'm like,
appropriation. You can't do it.
You're not Mexican. Like, how does that roll? Like, I don't know. I haven't got there. I have a few more years.
Is it only a Mexican thing? Or is it a
South?
Spanish.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Back to you. So you're building out and you have a much bigger, more appropriate studio.
And now we got a 2,500 square foot studio that it's like three blocks from the old one.
This is the new one?
Yeah.
All right. So are you worried at all? Is the overhead like a lot more? Or are you like?
It's huge.
What about the overhead? The costs? cost like double or triple, or is it not the same?
I used to pay $1,400 for the three rooms I have on the Quinceañera store. I'm paying now about $2,500, including services for a new one.
All right.
So I'm good. So there's not much.
So how are you making money now? Where are your clients coming from?
Portraits.
So all local people just looking to get their own kind of own portraits? What's the age range that of your clients?
Is 40 plus.
40 plus?
Yep.
All right. So what kind of, is it male, female?
Female mostly, because I was running a campaign, 40 over 40. And until that campaign, I was charging like really low. Actually, last year I came here and I got my ears pulled with a lot of people saying, you're charging too little. Because my package used to be like, $800, including hair and makeup for I don't know how many pictures, because my money was mostly on my traveling workshops.
Yeah.
Mostly than in the studio. I was shooting portraits just for fun. But people asked me once, hey, can you teach me lighting? And I was, sure. Can you teach me this? Sure. And I started getting paid for that. So I didn't pay attention to focus on doing my studio and charge more in my studio. So with a new place, my wife says, hey, so we need to pay this, and we pay the house. And so I started using the place, not the storage. But
so it sounds like his wife is the brains of this operation.
Yeah, she's the boss. So we spend quite some money on the campaign.
So this is a Facebook campaign?
Yeah.
So you're running ads.
Yeah.
So how did you learn how to run ads?
A lady called Dina. She helped me. I paid like $10,000 for all the stuff, and I got my money back in 1 week.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So before that, did you do any advertising
at
all?
So you, not at all.
And this is up until what, 2000 and what?
Until October last year.
So October last year, people are just finding you through your website and social media.
Mm-hmm.
No money on advertising. So how much has your revenue increased since you've started running ads?
So let's say yearly, I used to make a photographer like, I would say $10,000 per year. And now I go to like $25,000 a month. Mm-hmm.
So that's what your total revenue coming in.
Yeah, average.
And most of it is directly from ads.
Yes.
That's amazing.
That's
Are you just like fucking thrilled to death?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this? We weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have people in your studio helping you, or are you doing
it? Oh, yeah, I got a team now. I got a makeup artist, hairstylist, my wife. I got an editor. I got an assistant.
So you don't do your own editing anymore?
No, I had to send it. I had to outsource it.
Do you like editing?
I hate editing.
So you hate editing. Why do you hate editing?
It takes too much. For example, I don't like the wrinkles on the clothes. And that to do that, right, with frequent separation, it can take you 10, 15 minutes maybe.
Yep.
Now imagine 24 pictures. Now imagine
iron.
That.
Hey, you ever heard of an iron? Get an iron out. You didn't have that problem to begin with.
Yeah. We got
you want to kill me by the time this is over, don't you?
No. We got it. Now, actually, as fun as it sounds, everything that we as customers, we start improving to the studio. Now we got one hanger that with a steamer and one hand steamer. So we got two there in the studio.
Yeah. Steamer's where it's at.
Yep.
For sure.
So it's been amazing. I'm almost done with my first campaign. I'm dropping two more now. We're going to change the name to 40 or 40 to something different. And we're going to drop one. It's called This Is Love. It's for couples.
Oh, cool.
All inclusive.
Are you gonna completely drop the first campaign and start the second one?
Or so the first campaign was a tryout. We make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. Again, that was my first campaign ever, and it was a roller coaster. So far, so good, but we wanna change everything. Now we had to contract a lawyer with different type of contracts. So it's a huge change, but I think it's gonna be more organized, and we bump our price.
Yeah.
Because everybody was, oh, my God, I love your biggest package. And I was like, why are we selling the biggest package? We should just sell this one right here. And maybe your price. So raise it up a little bit.
So are your prices public on your website?
Yes, they are.
Have they always been? Or
No, I posted in March the 1st this year.
Do you think that it's easier for customers to contact you? Or did you see a change when you started publishing your pricing?
Actually, my wife was kind of scared when we bumped the price. And people so far is buying.
Nice.
Since with the new place, we got new pricing and everybody's buying.
So how do you break down? You have session fee and then it's per photo. And then are you
Session fee is $400, includes hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. That money, pretty much I don't got anything because it goes to my makeup artist, my hairstylist. That's their money.
Yeah.
And then I say my package goes 6, 12, 24. 6 pictures is $1,500. 12 pictures is $2,500. 24 pictures is $3,500. Mm-hmm. After the 24, every 10 pictures, $1,000.
Got it. And people get the digital version, or they then have to also
they
buy prints?
They got both, digital and prints.
Digital and prints.
And if they want to buy wall art, well, we got the wall art starting, I think, like $700 and up.
It's pretty good.
Where are you putting
nailing this so far?
Where are you getting everything printed? You guys doing it in-house or outsourcing?
Well, we ProPrint.
Yeah, all right.
So they send more prints.
ProPrint is awesome. They're Colorado-based, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of really everything, right? Like everything from metal to canvas.
Everything. They're great. I mean, last year I had the chance to meet them, and I walked all around the showroom, and I liked them the most.
Yeah. So you shopped around for your company here?
Yeah.
Okay. So you came to WPPI, where we're recording at, and you walked the showroom, looked for a quality that you wanted, and then picked your company that you were going to print with.
That is correct.
That's awesome. That's a good way to do it.
Which canvas versus fine art? What are you selling more of?
Like, I said mostly canvas.
Mostly canvas. So customers want mostly canvas?
I think it's more artistic looking at canvas than just a regular print on paper.
Yeah, I like canvas, and I feel like there's been some people that are like, do not get canvas. You have to get a fine art and put
it
behind
glass. We've
definitely
heard that from somebody before.
Several. Yeah. I get that from several people. I'm like, I actually like canvas, and I get the whole archive quality. It's going to last a million years, but it's like, you know what? I'm not going to be hanging this up for a million years. Yeah. I'm probably going to hang this up for a few years, and so, I also don't want to spend $5,000 on framing something.
Right.
It's a little ridiculous. Printing gets pretty custom.
But yeah, and I think the canvases, I don't know, to me, they, especially when you, like Simon has a painterly feel to his work already, so then you're printing on canvas, and it's kind of lending that art, you know, it's painting, it's a photograph, but it feels more painted when you have the texture of canvas, I feel like. I've never been mad about it. I think we got most of our wedding photos done on canvas, and, you know, they lived for a couple of years on our walls, and then we're like, we've been married for a hot second, we probably don't need to stare at ourselves all the time. We replaced them with other stuff.
He froze me up there?
Yeah. You don't even know. You don't even know. I have a Gary room.
Oh, what's in the Gary room?
You remember all those times I'm running around with my camera taking...
Oh, yeah. At the Garcinera.
Yeah, at the Garcinera.
So how far out are you booked right now?
Right now, we're taking a break. Because the moving and everything, I had to take care of my son.
Yeah.
We book until March 13. We're taking a break and we want to start shooting again on April the 1st.
Nice. So people are booked then, or that's when you're going to start relaunching the campaign?
We're going to launch the campaign April the 1st. So we want to start booking. So we want to launch the campaign, but we're going to start booking since April the 1st and up.
So I like this idea of the campaign, and I think we should talk more about that because I feel like, sounds like you just recently discovered this, but I have often talked to photographers who are just posting their work and then thinking that somebody's going to walk through their door magically without going through the standard advertising process. I mean, putting it out there someplace, right? Like, you're a business. How many people are out there as photographers doing zero marketing and just expecting someone to fall in their front door? So
in my case, keep in mind, I was in photography for fun.
Yeah.
So I was never expecting like make that amount of money as a business. Like, literally, we had to hire an accountant, lawyer, and everything to take care of business because we're very ignorant on that topic. And we're discovering a lot of stuff that we have no clue that exists. So I guess for us, an artist, when you try to, you know, use social media, I guess you're assuming that people see your work want to buy it. But you don't see the all the side of the business. It's like an iceberg, right? You see the tip, you don't see everything is beneath that. And that's the tough part because I found myself, like, not be able to, like, sleep. Like, editing, like, crazy hours. Like, I had to hire somebody to help me with a shoot. Now I have my wife with another camera, so we had two cameras at the same time to try to make the shoots faster because it's getting big, right? And you got the money coming in, and you're kind of like, what the hell do with the money now? And you have to pay the taxes, and you, because the first thing, and I'm guilty of this, the first thing when I start getting money is like, I'm going to buy a new camera.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a new lens. Yeah. I need more lights. I need more C-stands.
Yeah.
And I started spending my money, and then, you know, you had to pay your taxes, right? I was like, oh,
yeah,
my bad. I didn't know that. So,
yeah, everyone goes through that.
Yep.
I think probably the best piece of advice starting out is find a good accountant. Mm-hmm. Check in like quarterly. You know, if you're not doing your books, how am I doing? Just getting that feedback from them, giving, you know, your actual updated P&L. Am I making money? Because oftentimes, like, you can have a lot of money coming in. It's really easy to spend money.
Yeah.
And you don't know everything about tax code, which is oftentimes very complicated. So
it is.
Get a CPA, folks.
So I think beyond just a CPA, though, it sounds like you have expanded to do, I mean, have somebody doing almost everything except for the physical shooting. Do you still do the selling, or does your wife, like, do sales for you? Or
the way I find easy to sell my stuff, you know, and this is as cheesy as it sounds, you don't sell a picture, send an emotion, right? When these people come and say, I don't feel good, I don't feel pretty, I wanna feel amazing. And during this shoot, they feel amazing with whatever you're doing. So we find out that as soon as they're done, they start packing. We bring the TV. It's a huge screen. We put the laptop there, and we start showing them the pictures. And
do you do like an in-person sales? Like, do you call with them right there?
No, right there. As soon as the shoot is done, they're packed, they're with a chair, and we start selling the pictures right there.
Yeah. That I think is, again, something that people sleep on, because it creates a sense of immediacy for sales, right? Like, especially if you're telling people, like, I don't save my images, like, this is it. You mm-hmm. got to pick now. It creates that sense of immediacy, like, I have to get this done. And I think because the person is still in the experience, like, they just finished it, right? So, like, they're still in that experience.
With that
they're
rush.
Still, yeah, they're still excited, and then... You know, there is that emotional attachment. So when they're flipping through, and this isn't to trick anybody, right? This is a sales technique. Like, they're still in that moment and they're still emotionally attached to those images and to the experience. So when they're going through, like, they tend to over select, which as for us as business people is a good thing, because as you said, your package is tapping out at 24 images, but 10 more images, I'm making $1,000 more. Like, that's a good space to be in. To get people to be like, hey, like, you know, again, I'm not trying to get you to spend more than you're willing to spend, but I'm trying to get you to spend all you're willing to spend in this moment.
Yeah. With this campaign, we tell people, like I said, that's my first campaign. We made a lot of mistakes. So for the campaign, the $400 include the hair and makeup and also a print, which is a 20 by 30 canvas for the exhibition. We want to make exhibition. Exhibition is done. You take your print back home, right? And some people come with the $400 and we tell them, you don't want to buy anything else, you're good. You got your digital and your print, you can go home. If you want to buy more, you can buy more. No pressure. And I think people sometimes kind of guilty. They buy stuff and then they buy like 36. And we tell them, look, you got three pictures of the same outfit. They look pretty much the same. Why don't we put the three together and we pick the best one? And I find out that instead of trying to push more, when you help these guys pick the best, they actually say, okay, I love it. Let me come back when I'm with my children. I want to come back with my grandkids. I want to come with my husband. So I don't feel like you're trying to open up and shove it. Your work is, hey, let's make a good experience and, you know, take whatever you want. And so far it's working like that. I mean, I don't make like a lot of money, maybe one sale, maybe somebody buy 12, but they go 12, 12, 12 every time they come. So.
Yeah, I like the, like, when you're calling, I like the love it, like it, don't mm-hmm. like it scenario. And, like, just as you're flipping through, just those are the three things I want to hear is just don't like it, or love it. And then, you know, I'm starring them as we're going through, right? So, like, if you say you love it, I'm giving it a 4-star. If you're saying I like it, I'm giving it a 3-star. If you're saying I don't like it, then we don't star it at all. And then after that, you know, you filter by mm-hmm. the stars and then you go again, and then you're like, well, these are the ones that you loved and these are the ones that you like, and then you kind of narrow it down. But then by the end of it, again, I think that a lot of times they've over-selected, air quote, mm-hmm. over-selected beyond whatever your package was, and then, you know, you're looking at an opportunity like, all right, now I have more to sell because you know these are all the ones that either you liked or you just were saying right off the bat you loved that you had to have. It's just an interesting technique to do that in-person calling, just get it done right there on the spot. I think it's great.
Also, there's less editing because I saw people that do the IPS and they edit the images and they print the images and you got a reveal wall and you got like 40 pictures and they buy three.
Yeah.
So you spend time editing, printing your stuff, it's money spending. I tell them, look, this picture right here, you're going to let me know after they pick the stuff, right? You want to let me know what you want me to retouch here. Oh, I need you to retouch my double chin. I want you to touch my arm. So I start marking stuff there. And I'm cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So when, how far do you take it? Do you take as it all
far
the
way? As far as they want.
As far as the list. So like, make me 80 pounds lighter. You're like, done. Gotcha.
I got a lady. Gotcha, was bro. She was 67 years old. She told me, I want to look 30 years younger. Deal.
So what did you do? Just
Photoshop.
Got all the wrinkles out.
Yep.
And she was cool with that.
She was cool with that. She was
like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You think it was for like a dating site app? And she's like, I'm back, baby.
My last client I had yesterday, she actually came to for dating apps.
Nice. Yeah. I mean,
I was like, hey, cool. Let's do it.
That's how people are meeting people these days.
Yeah.
Invest in yourself.
Right? Yeah. So you've got a lot of different types of photography. I want to talk about specializing and kind of where you're going. So on your site, you've got everything from maternity to kind of like a classical fine art. You've got the 40 over 40. You've got couples, fine art nudes, outdoor, on location. Are you trying to get to a point where you have just one style, or do you really like the fact that you can do so much?
I like money. And whoever wants to buy anything, I'm going to sell them whatever they want. So I try to, my work is based on my lighting technique, right? It can be whatever you want. It can be fashion, can be fine art, can be whatever you want to name it. So I try to show that version of my portfolio and tell people, look, if you want a fine art maternity shoot, I can do that. These are my examples. If you want kind of a fashion maternity shoot, I can do this. If you want to come with your husband and do like a painted portrait, yeah, we can do that. So how did
you get into maternity? Because we actually had this conversation yesterday with Diana Robles, and she's a maternity shooter. Mm-hmm. And we had the question of how many male maternity shooters do you think there are?
I wouldn't say I'm a maternity photographer. I can do that. Like, again, to me, everything is about lighting and posing.
Yeah.
And somebody just throwing the dress and stuff like that.
I feel like, though, like in scanning your maternity gallery, right? Like, I feel like it's your people are coming because they want your style. Mm-hmm. They just happen to be pregnant. So he's not real. Like, he's not really changing his style at all. It's just they happen to be pregnant.
Simon Diaz for every time in your life.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same like feel. It's the same, you know, kind of set design. It just happens to be that they're pregnant for it.
Have you tried newborns?
No, I'm scared to do that.
Yeah.
Ugh, they're too delicate. So
little. Yeah. Little tiny.
Phones. I have children. I don't want to play with other people's.
Right?
It's good.
So much crying and poop.
Yeah.
I don't need that going on in my studio.
I think I did newborns twice. Well, no, because I have two. So I definitely did it at least three times. They crap and pee on you. I have like zero interest to do that.
Mm-mm. No, sir. Yeah. So what advice would you have for people that are maybe just starting out? Like, if you could go back and sit down and have a conversation with yourself, what would you tell yourself back in the day?
Have fun, learn as much as you can, and try to always go with a plan of what's going to come next. For example, if you asked me 6 months ago that I'm going to be here talking to you on a podcast on Pretty You, I would be like, yeah, sure, you're cute, babe. But, you know,
I'm not special.
Yeah.
I'm not special.
Just probably the you is special to me. Yeah,
we've been talking to you for a while.
Yeah.
Long time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you were supposed to come to my house to come do a workshop, and I
couldn't
be
to
me.
Texas. Totally I know. Ghosted my me. Bad. Yeah.
He called me.
I would
about
ghost
it
you. I would
he,
ghost you.
But he initiated.
I can
and
see
then
why
he ghosted,
you ghosted him. It's good job.
It's dirty. It's dirty.
Nasty.
So, gear or technique? Like, what's more important to invest in?
Technique. I tell, if you see my website, is to me, is technique is a matter of art. There's no technique, there's no art. When I was a little kid, I was obsessed taking a look at paintings. You know, if you go Van Gogh or Picasso, they got a certain technique that you can tell, oh, that's Picasso, that's a Dumas, that's a Michelangelo, whatever. So, but these people had a defined technique that make the art be whatever it is, right? So if you don't have a technique, if you try to copy somebody else's, you don't have anything proper. So,
what do you think your technique is? If you were to like try to describe your style or technique, what is it about your work that...
I'm a lighting artisan.
All right.
I'm happy to say that I can make good lighting with anything, everywhere, anytime.
Wow, that's bold.
Bold move.
Bold statement.
So what's in your lighting kit? What are you constantly
using? What's your go-to?
Umbrellas.
Yeah, what kind
umbrellas.
Of
umbrellas? All right.
I got from...
He's the Mary Poppins of photography.
I got Fotec. I got...
I love a Fotec.
Yeah, I got the 30... I got the 43, 60, and I think it's 26 something like that. I got three sizes. Yeah. I got the Westcott. I got Selens. I got Fotecs. I
mean, these are all umbrellas.
Yeah, all umbrellas.
What's the difference between all these umbrellas? Why you got so many?
Size.
Size.
The interior. Yeah. This is silver. If it's white, if it's parabolic or not.
So how many different umbrellas? What are you using the biggest umbrella for?
Field mostly or main light. They both depend. Everything I use depends on the situation, right? For example, I can use a big umbrella for field, or I can use it like really close for super soft light. I can use a bob to make it look like natural light. Whatever.
How often are you using the beauty dish?
Not very often. I like beauty. I love beauty dish, but my business partner is a makeup artist. We're trying to do more beauty stuff. But beauty dish, if it's a beautiful light, but I don't know. It's not something for me. I'd rather use a bare bulb.
What about octas or parabolics? Was in your arsenal?
On the studio, we have almost, I would say, 40 type of modifiers. We got softbox, octagons, deep parabolics, the umbrellas, the domes, the street boxes, both sides, like small, medium, large, everything.
What's getting the least attention? What are you using the least?
Beauty dish.
The beauty dish. So it's just dusty? Dusty on the
shelf.
I
use beauty dish mostly for a hair light.
Okay.
Like, I like it. You know, still soft, I still focus. I'm with a grid, that's what I use it the most.
So what is your choice of lighting manufacturer? What do you shoot with?
I shoot right now with Godox and Flashpoint. Hopefully I'm going to go on a grave soon. But...
So what's the difference? Like, why do you have both?
It's the same stuff.
It's the same stuff.
It's different. Okay. Literally, it's just different name.
Just a different name.
One is what do they call it? It's been...
One's from Adorama. So like the Godox, the 8600, just...
Oh, white labeled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Godox in the last few years has seemed to become, in my opinion, kind of the new Paul C. Buff. Like Paul C. Buff was like durable, cheap, and you could replace it, good customer service. And I've seen, I don't know, maybe it's been more than 2 or 3 years, but Godox seems to be the new almost everyone, especially if you're starting out. Really reliable. I don't know. I don't own them.
They're not expensive.
Would you keep using them? Or are you trying to get somewhere else?
I mean, I will use them.
I feel like the difference between Paul C. Buff and Godox, though, is like Paul C. Buff was a tank. Godox is... disposable. Like, it's like if you break one, you're not going to cry about it, because but you're also not going to get it replaced. Still today, you call Paul C. Buff with lights you bought like 12 years ago, they'll replace it. Like, they're the bomb. But Godox is just going to be like, nah, bro,
just go get
a new one for $100.
Are you doing anything with continuous light?
Yeah, I do. I got Fotex constant light.
Yeah. And what do you love about constant light versus strobe?
Whatever you see is whatever you get.
Yeah. I feel like constant light is making a strong comeback.
I love it.
I feel like with the stronger the LED lights are getting, and especially with the different colors and everything that you can do in a single, you know, you don't have to have gels or anything. You just change the colors.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of artists shifting to like NAND light and shifting to... the aperture.
Then you got Nanolite, you got Stella, you got Jikoro now, it's a new one.
Yeah.
And they all kind of look the same. Are these all coming from the same factory? They're just different labeled? I don't know. Something fishy's going on. I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to find out, David.
I will. I'll do some market research.
So what's your week like here? What do you use WPPI for?
This time, I just come to have fun.
Nice. So... Yeah.
And
this is the first year
the
there's
right
not a
place.
This is the first year there's not a print competition. Have you ever done a print competition?
No.
Do you even care about printing?
I mean, I don't think my work is ready to competition.
Why not?
I don't know. I think it's, I don't know. For example, there's a friend of mine. She makes these beautiful Victorian dresses. She made it by hand. And I love your work. I mean, I'm a huge fan of your work. And she says the same about my work. And it's kind of a... I don't think my work compares to yours. I mean, I don't see my work the way. And she said, maybe because it's something that we see every day or we do, we don't have the appreciation that somebody else see it. And maybe to me, I mean, competitions, I mean, what are they going to tell me? Your work is good?
They're going to give you an award and then you put it on the wall.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you even care about awards?
Not really.
Yeah, you care about money.
That is correct.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. I mean,
that's a good thing. It helps. It makes life easier. There's nothing worse than having financial stress. You know, it's the number one reason why people get divorced. Yeah. Obviously, it's the number one reason why businesses fail, but it's a shitty thing to worry about. So it's nice when I'm happy to hear that, you know, it's you have the options to, you know, start and stop shooting and you know, get a better studio, and it seems like things are going really well.
I don't want to buy a Ferrari. I want to be able to, if my son wants an ice cream, be like, hey, let's go for ice cream without worrying about, hey, if we spend $20 here, we don't have money to pay
it. Yeah.
And electricity or something like that. So I want to live comfortable and I want my family to have a nice, decent life. I want to, you know, travel or have fun or go, if I want to eat something, you know, sushi or whatever, I just can go and buy it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So when's the next workshop?
New York. I'm in New York. It's a private class. I'm offering New York the first and second. It's for three people.
Of April?
Yeah, first and second. And then... I have nothing else planned.
Nice. So who are your favorite photographers now that you're still kind of, you know, looking at their work all the time and still looking up to?
Well, I will say that top for me is Lindsay Adler. I think she's the most complete photographer now.
Really?
Yeah, she's really good lighting, really good at posing, really good at color choice. She's really good at editing.
Hell of a marketer.
She's really good teaching. She presents herself like, you know, approachable, but still she can school you in 2 seconds with a couple of whatever.
Yeah.
So I look at her like my biggest role model as a reference. Right there is Chris Knight, obviously. I love Chris. His work is I think I start chasing my work based on Chris Knight's work. And then I would say Annie Leibovitz. I love Mario Testino. He's Peruvian too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I should start working a lot more with Hardlight, try to emulate Mario Testino work.
Yeah, I love Hardlight. Yeah. All right. David, any last questions before we get out of here? Any last words of wisdom?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing that if I were listening to this, that I would take from this experience is, and we've actually heard it from multiple people, like, Clay Cook comes to mind. He's been telling people for years, like at some point, you know, decide which part of the business you want to do, but also like, don't be afraid to branch out, diversify, build a team so that you can get back to the part that you like to do. If that's shooting, then great. Go be the shooter and pass retouching off. If you don't, I mean, I think so many of us make the mistake of trying to be our own marketer, trying to be our own business manager, trying to be our own studio manager, trying to be our own makeup artist. And like, you know, when you diversify that many domains of this craft, you can't possibly be decent at all of them, you know, at the same time. You're like, no one has that much space. So I think, you know, the success story that we hear here is like, I just wanted to make money, so I gave up some of the control so that I could speed up the process, right? Like, I'm not saying that's your overall goal, but if that is your overall goal and you just want to be the business person, the shooter, then, you know, let other people do the work that they can do so you can get back to doing what you like to do.
I couldn't have said it better myself, David. God,
I love it.
You handsome son of a bitch. Ugh. All right, Simon, any last words of wisdom?
Thank you guys for having me here.
Where can everyone go to find your work?
SimonDiaz.com spells D-I-E-Z, my last name. And check it out. And I'm going to start. Actually, we're going to rebuild my website. It's going to be another 10K. So we can make it more SEO appropriate and
nice. All
that stuff. That's a lot of investment. People don't notice that.
Yeah.
When you start getting bigger in business, I saw a lot of my friends. And this is something that you might see, and with the Latino community, this is what I was trying to put my hands on, is they got a lot of work, but never got money. And because they think having work every weekend for $1,000 and reinvest the money in equipment is going to make you a better photographer, but you left your website, or you don't have a website, or the, your Instagram is. I'm hiring right now a website developer, a social media person. We had an accountant. We had a lawyer. I got one assistant. I mean, it's part of the business. If you want to make it big, well,
yeah,
play with the big boys. Play like a big boy, right?
I love that.
Successful people delegate.
Yeah.
I know someone's a little kid. I'm trying to delegate stuff. And if you wanna make money, well, you have to invest money. I'm happy that the people come to see me, because sometimes when I'm trying to get my name out, and all these clients come to shoot. And even when my wife is shooting, they have fun, right? But they come to see me. But for me to be there, it's a lot of background, that all these tools I mentioned that we have to have on point for be able to sell them. It's not just click it and having a good camera. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, dude, it's been awesome to see you twice now in a few months. So I'm happy to see you again, and let's have a fun week.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you again, and we will talk to you soon.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.